For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Adios, old friend. Yeah, I've got no secrets and no regrets. Well, a lot of regrets, but the point is I've got nothing to hide. Kind of like the way Progressive shows you their competitors' rates. You gotta put it all out there, baby. Excuse me, miss. Does this heart belong to you? Would you like it anyway?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparisons not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Ah, the copperhead snake. It hisses before attacking. But that's not a copperhead. That's the Sullivan's RV freshwater tank overflowing into their black one, which is backing into their vent pipe, making for a very different kind of attack. One that arrives just in time for taco night. It's wild out there. When it gets too wild, Progressive has your RV covered. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Speaking about knocking it down, Svi Mykhailiuk with another three ball. He's got eight. Svi for three. Mykhailiuk, man, he's hotter than fish grease.
Nice Kentucky finish. I always think guys.
Svi up high.
Welcome everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where what do you do when plans A and B for trying to get through the rest of the summer with no substantial Lakers content fail? Alan?
You listen to our podcast?
Yes, but more specifically, Alan, you move on to plans V. And guess what, Alan? That's exactly what we've decided to do for tonight's episode. But thank God we've got some more informed and insightful help other than ourselves, as tonight we've got former Kansas Jayhawk, fan favorite, center Landon Lucas on to help shed some light on Svi as a person and as a basketball player during his 3 years being teammates with Svi at Kansas. But Alan, speaking of plans V, what's been your plans V this summer for trying to fill the purple and gold void till September?
As far as basketball is concerned, just probably like what everybody else is doing, just playing NBA 2K, pretty much just being on NBA Twitter, which has been extremely entertaining this summer, probably more than ever before. The last week or so has been pretty slow, but yeah, that and just watching YouTube videos, honestly, of like every highlight reel from every single player's entire career. So yeah, filling the void has been difficult, and I mean, yeah, as far as basketball things go, that's what I've been doing, and it's been mildly sufficient.
Now, what about the pictures and video of LeBron James in his official Lakers practice gear? Has that been giving you life, and do you think that will sustain you?
That gave me such a huge energy boost today. I just finished getting over the stomach flu, which I had for like 12 days, and it just really sucked the freaking life out of me, if you know what I mean by sucking the life out of me. Yeah, it's everything came out of me. And yeah, so I've just been like fatigued and weak, but seeing those pictures today and seeing someone who doesn't look fatigued and doesn't look weak at all, it definitely had a positive effect, rubbed off on me. Today was fantastic after seeing that, and I saw, you know, B.I. was there, Kuzma was there, so I bet those guys were feeling the energy as well.
Yeah, no longer a Photoshop, right? Real Lakers practice gear. I think he had like a shoot going on for either 2K Sports.
I thought you were going to say he also had a skirt on.
Oh, like Josh Hart?
Yeah.
I mean, Josh Hart is already on the roast train with LeBron James, and LeBron James is liking his roast. So, I mean, all good vibes all around, and we're going to need more of that to sustain us till September for sure. But that's not a bad start. So before we get to our interview with Landon, as usual, please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. That's where you'll get instant updates on when our episodes drop from week to week and any future news and teases as well. Please also rate and review us on iTunes, because the more you rate and review us, that is an extra percentage point above the standard 10% of brain capacity that humans use, that all of our players and our front office will be using this season to stay ahead of the curve next year. Hashtag light years, hashtag next level, hashtag Lakers stay woke. All right, so we have a fantastic episode and interview tonight where not only is the main subject of the interview great, and we're talking about Tsvi Mykhailiuk, but so is the actual interviewee himself in terms of how interesting and unique Landon Lucas's own basketball journey is. And we'll get to hear a little bit of both tonight, which is really cool. And usually, you know, we usually interview like a beat reporter or an off-season skills trainer or even former coaches of the player. But tonight it's kind of unique because we're actually going to be profiling somebody who's played with the Lakers player we're talking about. And Alan, I wanted to ask you before we get started with our interview, your thoughts on that and just gaining that extra perspective of someone who's actually played with a Lakers player that we're trying to dissect and dig into.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want to get to know a person beyond talking to the individual themselves, you would think someone who was teammates with them would be one of the best ways to gain some true insight because, I mean, these guys are essentially family. You know, they spend all that time together traveling, going through hell with one another, essentially, all the locker room stuff, ups and downs, highs, lows, all that kind of thing. So to gain a perspective like this is extremely exciting, and I think, like you said, it isn't something that we've been privileged to, you know, experience at this point. So it's going to be an incredibly unique perspective. And I feel like we obviously don't know that much about Tsvi at this point, but talking to someone who was in the trenches with him, so to speak, for years and on long, you know, successful runs, we can learn so much about Tsvi through this interview.
Yeah, and then what about the cultural aspect that kind of, not to give away too much of the interview, but the cultural aspect of what makes Landon Lucas so unique to us, to you specifically, and also us as a podcast. There's a link here that, you know, we don't have to go too deep into, but just the one that exists that keeps us interested. And even though, you know, Landon Lucas is not a Laker, obviously, and he's still trying to make it into the league, but just getting to know somebody who has such an interesting background like this and kind of growing to embrace them. And if he ends up actually making it into the league, how great of a story that is.
Well, yeah, he's gone through an incredibly unique journey that not many guys can say that they've been on. And his journey, I mean, started from the time he was a kid, right? Like, we're not just talking about, you know, late high school and college, post-college. Like, we're talking from the time he was a child, his entire upbringing, his background. Again, this will be talked about in the interview, obviously, but he grew up in Japan. And he grew up going to a Japanese school in Portland after that. And if you guys have been listening for a while, if you've even heard random episodes where I've talked about this, I'm half Japanese myself, Japanese American. So obviously that's going to draw me in to, you know, this individual, like, oh, wow, you have, he's honestly like probably more culturally Japanese than I am because he lived in the country and he speaks the language. And like, I looked at his Twitter the other day and he's like tweeting in Japanese. And the thing is, like, I can read it, but I don't know what I'm reading. That's the thing. Like, I can pronounce everything and I can probably identify 35% of the words, you know? So it's really cool for me personally to, you know, have that opportunity to hear from a guy who has, you know, similar cultural experiences as me, but definitely a lot more. And I know there's a lot that I can learn from him from that point of view. But yeah, just personally, it's very intriguing for myself. And again, it's just it's a really, really cool story. And he's a Laker in all of our hearts. You know, we're definitely pulling for this guy to be successful. And you guys will all understand after listening to this interview why we want to pull for him.
Yeah, and even apart from your personal affiliation with his story, Alan, you know, Tommy actually has his girlfriend is Japanese American. So is my girlfriend. And I think for me, what drew me into his story was just the immigrant experience as well. You know, he was born in Tokyo in Japan. Japanese was his first language, and kind of feeling like a foreigner, both where he started. Obviously, he didn't look like anybody in Japan, but also coming back to the States, having that cultural shift and culture shock, right? That's something I've experienced growing up. You know, my parents are from the Philippines. I grew up there for a period of time in my life, and I had to transition over to the United States and had to undergo a lot of cultural shifts and learn how to try and fit in all these different scenarios where I always kind of stood out. So that part of his story was really intriguing to me, and you'll hear a little bit about that in our interview coming up. So I hope you guys enjoy not only his perspective and insight on his time playing and being teammates with Zvi Mikhailu, but his own journey as well. And as you'll learn, he was a huge Lakers fan growing up. So with that said, we will turn it over now to my interview with Landon Lucas. Also, one thing that I would like to highlight is he does have his own nonprofit organization called the Landon Lucas Foundation, which you'll also hear about during our interview. If you would please help us out and donate to his cause, LandonLucasFoundation.org. He is providing resources, financial resources for kids who are underprivileged and want to get into sports, who don't necessarily have the means to sign up and register for these sports, or don't have the financial means to buy the requisite equipment and gear and all of that stuff. So he has this Landon Lucas Foundation set up for that entire purpose. And it's a great cause. And if you would help us out in donating whatever you can find it at LandonLucasFoundation.org. Really, really cool what he's trying to do there. So with that said, please enjoy my interview with Landon Lucas as we get into Zvi Mikhailu, Lakers fanhood, and just his journey trying to make it to the NBA.
Hey, this is Brian from the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, here to talk about keeps. So there's just no two ways to say it. Losing hair is awful. Nobody wants to go through it. And two out of three guys are going to experience hair loss by the time they're 35. This is the world we live in, people. Now, I personally haven't started this, you know, downturn, but I got a couple of people close to my life that go through it, and they always say, should have started it sooner rather than later. So anyways, these FDA-approved products used to cost so much, but now, thanks to Keeps, they're finally inexpensive and easy to get. For 5 minutes now and starting just $10 per month, you'll never have to worry about hair loss again. So they've ironed out the process. Basically, you just take a photo of your hair and you shoot it over, and a licensed physician will review the information and recommend the right treatment to you, and then boom, shipped right to your door every 3 months. So Keeps is only $10 to $35 a month. Plus now you can get your first month free to keep your hair. So come on, what are we talking about here? To receive your first month of treatment for free, go to keeps.com/almighty. That's KEEPS.com/almighty. That's a free month of treatment at keeps.com/almighty. Keeps, hair today, hair tomorrow.
Won their conference tournament. Driving it, no. Tapped around, picked up by Lucas.
And what a great rebounder he is.
They turn from the corner, Mikhailu. They give second opportunities up. Kansas says thank you. Drills it.
All right, tonight we are pleased and privileged to have former Kansas Jayhawk and former teammate of new Lakers rookie Zvi Mikhailu, center Landon Lucas, on with us to talk about his unique and interesting basketball journey and give us a little insight into how Zvi was on the court and off the court in Kansas. Landon, thanks for hopping on with us tonight. How are you doing, and how has your time training out here in Los Angeles been treating you?
Thanks for having me. I mean, it's been great out here. I love L.A., I got some good trainers out here. The open runs are great, and it's been a good time.
Awesome. Before we get underway, if you want to plug any of your social sites or give us any further updates on what you're currently working on, please go ahead and do so.
Social sites, Twitter is just Landon Lucas. Instagram, we got Landon Lucas 9. And yeah, that's about it for that. But other than that, what was the other question? Just slipped my mind.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, what are you currently doing in Los Angeles in terms of training? I know that you're back from a one-year stint in Japan playing professionally for the Toyota Aalvarks? Aalvarks?
Aalvark.
What is an Aalvark, Landon?
It's like some kind of big teddy bear.
Oh.
I don't really know exactly what it is, but yeah, no, I'm back in town. I've been training at a place called EPX, and it's out in Woodland Hills. That's where I do most of my strength and conditioning. And then basketball, I've been with a couple different guys. I've done some at UCLA with Rico Hines.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've gone out with a guy named Dash to do some shooting and stuff. So that's really where I've been out here in LA.
That's awesome. And, you know, we'll delve a little bit deeper into your professional career at Kansas and also post-Kansas. But, you know, Landon, I know a main part of why we reached out to you tonight and why you're coming on this Lakers-centric show is to talk about Zvi Mykhailiuk.
Yeah.
Is that how you pronounce his name? How do you pronounce it?
Zvi Mykhailiuk, I think is how you would say it. We all really didn't know very well, so... that's how we got the nickname Svi, is because we didn't even want to try to pronounce any of his name.
Sure. How long did it take you, would you say, to get it right?
I mean, I don't even think I still get it right, unfortunately. So, you know, it takes a while.
No, that's fair. And yeah, so we obviously had you on to talk about Svi since you played with him for about 3 years or so. But you yourself have had quite the eclectic and unique basketball journey and career. As I dug into your own personal story and journey, I found myself more and more engrossed by it. And to be honest, I thought about maybe just devoting this entire episode to you. It's that interesting.
Well, thank you.
So Landon, I'll just run through your story and career arc really quickly, and you can just expound upon it a little more. And obviously correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, but Landon, you were born in Tokyo. You lived there till you were three. Then you moved to Oregon, went to Nevada in high school, then went to Kansas, played all 4 years in Kansas, somehow found your way back to Tokyo last year, playing professional ball with the Aalvarks, Aalvark Teddy Bears or whatever the heck they are. So what a career and what an interesting journey for you. In a way, since graduating, I know you also played Summer League for the Boston Celtics, which we'll let slide. They don't deserve you. But in the last year after that, since going undrafted and taking your professional career overseas and going back to Japan to play for the Toyota Aalvarks, I think they also incidentally won the championship last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, what a crazy career. That's amazing. But going back to Tokyo, where you were actually born and grew up there for the first 3 years of your life, and I think... Do you still understand Japanese? Do you still speak Japanese?
I do. At one point, it was actually my first language, so it was a lot more fluent for me. But I took about 10 years of not even speaking it. So when I went back, it took a little time for me to get a hang of things again. But I'm not at the level I was, but it's still there. I still can hold a conversation, find my way around, and do all that stuff.
Now, do you have like a Japanese name for yourself? I'm assuming you can write in kanji and everything too.
I did in school. I don't remember it, but yeah, no, all the different alphabets and stuff is definitely tough to retain after all that time.
For sure. Going back to Japan the last year and playing in Tokyo, was that kind of a weird full circle experience for you playing professionally? Tell us about your last year playing for the Toyota Aalvarks, and I know you experienced an injury setback, and that's what you've been rehabbing to come back from this past season and trying to train here in Los Angeles to get back from that. But yeah, how has your last year been in Tokyo, and has it been a sort of full circle experience for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty up and down. You know, it was a learning experience for sure. The main reason I went over there was... not only because being comfortable, you know, with things over there, I got a really great rookie contract offered to me. But I also was really planning on playing, and still am, for the Olympic team. And so I had to work on getting my passport and stuff. So, you know, part of me wanted to stay here, continue to pursue things. You know, Summer League with the Celtics went well. And I wasn't really necessarily wanting to go overseas just yet, but, you know, everything kind of added up to me going over there. Unfortunately, in October, I did get hurt, and just recently in the last few months have fully recovered from that. It was a foot injury, and, you know, those are very delicate. So, but now I'm 100% again, and just kind of going from there.
That's a great tidbit, hearing about how you're planning and training to be part of the Japanese national team. That's awesome. I wanted to delve a little bit deeper into I guess just you growing up in Japan, and you're not Japanese at all, right?
No, I'm not Japanese at all. My dad just happened to play this, you know, an infant and growing up. So that's kind of what got me started there. And then once I learned the language, had some friends there, I ended up going back and forth until about middle school, going to school out there, living out there with my mom. So it was an experience, but, you know, it really helped. I feel like moving forward with everything as far as when I went to Findlay Prep and Nevada and then off to Kansas, you know, those life changes seem very small compared to what I went through growing up.
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure you had to mature really quickly, and just learning how to fit in must have been tough. So I want to ask you, where did your love for basketball, when did that start in Japan and how did it grow?
It really did just watching, you know, my father play. You know, I went to all of his games, all of the practices, and really just fell in love with that. And then when I came back to the States, you know, it's fun to follow. I actually was a huge Lakers fan growing up and got to meet the whole team. It was the, I think it was the 02, 03 team. But one of those, you know, teams when they were stacked, and I got to meet all of them and kind of just fell in love with it. And then from there, I ended up growing to the size that I am now at 6'10". And at that point, you know, it's kind of, you know, a given that I go into it. So
obviously Lakers fans love to hear that you were also a Laker fan growing up. And even in spite of the fact that you grew up in Portland for a little bit as well. So no Trailblazers fanhood in you?
I was that one kid that would go to the Blazers game in my Lakers jersey and risk all the fans, you know, hating on me. But I just grew up a Lakers fan. My family is originally from here, and my dad was a Lakers fan. Even my initials is LAL, so I just had to be a Lakers fan. So that kind of was, you know, my childhood team for sure.
Hey, well, this is very fitting. I didn't pay you to say any of this, right?
No, this is all true.
Hey, well, that's awesome. And before we talk about just, you know, move forward and talk about your career in Kansas and everything like that, did any cultural habits and values from Japan, did you find yourself implementing any of that on the court or in the locker room when you got here to the States?
They definitely teach you just a lot about, you know, discipline and going through things at 100%. I mean, I remember going through practices when I was over there in elementary school, and we would stay in the gym the whole weekend, even sleep in the gym sometimes. So, I mean, the difference between that and then coming back to the States, you really kind of carry over just how important it is, and just how seriously, you know, people take the privilege to be able to play the game of basketball. So, that's really what I took the most of. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you know, it's hard to take a lot. The American game is so far ahead right now that, you know, Japan is slowly building and really getting more and more into basketball. But for the most part, that was what I carried.
And I think that translates to pretty much everything the Japanese do, especially if you think about food.
Oh, yeah.
I heard the food there is amazing. This is going to turn into a Japanese travel podcast pretty soon, but
right.
I heard pretty much not even just the sushi, but like if you eat pizza in Japan, if you eat a burger in Japan, it's amazing just because of the how meticulous they are and how skilled they are in everything that they do, right? So
yeah, no, you got to be careful with some stuff, you know. I remember the first time I ordered a pizza out there, it was like they had some kind of fish sauce on it. And so you just never know. I just stuck to a Pizza Hut after that. So
yeah, that does sound a little gnarly. But with that said, obviously you're back here in Los Angeles training. And I know you have your sights set on earning a spot on an NBA roster. Can you take me through that process just a little bit? I know you, I don't know if you had a chance to snag on with a team this past summer league, or if it's your intention to try and snag on with a team's G League affiliate or anything like that. But how's that process going for you so far since coming back from your injury, first of all? And then what have you been working on this summer?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a tough process. I mean, the whole thing is very up and down. The difference between guys who are spots 10 through 15 on an NBA roster and guys overseas, you know, sometimes aren't that big. It's just about You know, guys who have taken advantage of opportunities, gotten opportunities, et cetera. So, you know, really I'm just working and waiting for, you know, an opportunity to come up. Last year with the Celtics, there was some opportunity when Gordon Hayward came, and they were short on money for a little while as far as, you know, salary cap and all that. But then they ended up making some trades. So this year, I wanted to pursue it again. Unfortunately, my injury kind of held me out of that. I wasn't able to come back and get on a summer league roster. Just recently I've been, you know, 100% trying to do what I can. I think that I might end up going back overseas for this year. Being able to be 100% and healthy is going to be helpful, and then come back and see what happens. I just signed. I actually just signed with Svi's agent. So
nice.
So you know, hopefully we can get some things going, and really, it's just about selling yourself to a team, and finding the right spot. And I believe that what I did at Kansas can be translated onto any team at any level. So that's just kind of what I'm looking for, is the opportunity, and then showing the organization I can do that.
I know it's a tough trek back, especially from a season-ending injury and just trying to kind of catch your bearings once again. But you know, the Lakers are looking for some centers because we don't have any.
hey, you know what's funny is the person that I always you know, compare myself to when NBA teams ask is Tristan Thompson. Now
yes.
that you got LeBron, you know, he needs a new Tristan. So, you know, I gotta get on my agent to get me out there and see if LeBron needs another guy to come in and get some extra possessions and do all those little things.
That's a fair selling point. I guess to go into a little more detail, how would you describe your game to Lakers fans that have no idea how you played in Kansas? You're 6'10". I've heard that you are a very smart and intelligent player, really grit and grind type of guy who really takes the defensive end very seriously. I guess everything that Tristan Thompson is, but I guess, yeah, what can you offer to an NBA team?
Yeah, I mean, it is very similar to what he does. You know, the things that I do well are things that a lot of people don't enjoy doing because it doesn't get a ton of credit for it. And so I go out there, focus on defense, focus on setting good screens, getting people open, focus on getting extra possessions, things that, you know, go unnoticed by maybe the casual fan, but, you know, a teammate or a coach, they see those things. And that's kind of what I learned and kind of how I found my way to end up being able to start at Kansas for about 2.5 years. So, I mean, that's really what I do and what I've done since I've been a little kid. My dad preached it to me, and I figured, you know, why change that? That's something that can translate anywhere against almost any competition pretty easily. So that's what I focus on and really what I bring to a team.
No, that's awesome. And we are very much rooting for you. And it's funny that the way that you describe your game, it's almost very Japanese, even though you're not Japanese, right? It's like, yeah. It's not flashy. Exactly. Nobody really sees it, but you do what you got to get done.
That's
and it really helps.
That's the first time I've heard that comparison, but that's actually a pretty good point that you make there.
Everything is full circle with you.
Right.
But really quickly, before we get to Svi, what are your thoughts on LeBron James since you are a Laker? Were you expecting it to happen? And now that it's here, are you in awe that your former teammate Svi gets to kind of play with this dude and benefit off of him?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome, you know, to have the Lakers, you know, back really, you know, at the forefront of the league, and having a guy like LeBron come here is awesome. And then as far as, you know, Svi getting to play with him, that's great. And I think it's going to work very well for him. I think that, you know, LeBron's going to love playing with a guy like him. And, you know, it's just good all around for Lakers fans. You know, I know that it's kind of tough because you go back and forth, you know, with the old Kobe. And you know, I was one of those people that was a big Kobe fan, and it was hard to like LeBron. LeBron's grown on me, but you know, I can understand that. But, you know, now with him being there, I think it's awesome and good for the Lakers all around.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get into your time with Zvi at Kansas. Now, you played with him for 3 years. Is that correct?
Yes.
Cool. So when Zvi first started out in college, I mean, he came as a 16-year-old, and I think you were in your sophomore year or freshman year?
I was in my sophomore year when he got there.
Gotcha. So for you, did your experience growing up in Japan and kind of feeling like a foreigner in both settings, one having grown up in Japan and then coming back to the States, did that help you better relate to guys like Zvi who, you know, came overseas and are experiencing American college and life for the first time? I know you also played with Embiid, right? Or were teammates with Embiid and guys like that.
So Embiid was my freshman year along with Andrew Wiggins. And so they came in my freshman year. And then Zvi, you know, came in after that. And he came in super young. I mean, I think he was 16 at the time, but very talented. And I think that really the best part about him is that, you know, he came in with a ton of skill sets, a ton of talent. And it's hard that young to be able to move into a program like Kansas and have it all show. And so a lot of what you saw was him, you know, just learning to go to the corner and shoot early on in his career. And he developed more and got more comfortable. But really, you know, he's a complete player that can do a lot of things on top of shooting. And now I think with that kind of fresh start and stuff, he's even able to show more. And I think a lot of people got to see that in the summer league. But we saw it all the time. And pick up games and practice, all the things he can do outside of just shooting. But, you know, obviously shooting is what he's known for, and there's a good reason why.
No, absolutely. And I even saw, even prior to this past summer league and his last year in Kansas, I was looking at some of his European tape when he was only 16, and he's like crossing people over and so step back jump shots. I'm like, what is going on? So I think just that point about having to mold your game to fit a system and play a role, that must have been hard on him. And for him, what did that adjustment period look like as you saw him progress throughout his years? And did it take him, even off the court, was it an adjustment period for him just learning about America and being at a college, an American university, and learning the game in that sense?
I mean, there was a huge adjustment. You could see it all, you know, all around, not just on the court, but off. But, you know, on the court, he kind of just – there was a lot of ups and downs. I mean, I remember we actually started our first games together my sophomore year, his freshman year. And then he went through a couple years where he wasn't starting and then came back and was starting again. And I think most of it was just kind of getting a feel for, you know, his role, like you had said, kind of molding into that. And when you're young, it's tough to really, it's already tough for like 18-year-old freshmen to come in and really go into a school mm-hmm. like Kansas with a coach like Coach Self and show everything they have. And so when you're 16 years old, it's really tough. And he was just trying to get on the court however he could. And I remember in practices, you know, when Coach was getting on him and stuff, you know, eventually you just kind of know, okay, well, if I'm going to go out there, you know, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to play good defense, and I'm going to shoot, you know, and that's how I get my time on the court. And then that kind of molds you a little bit to the point where that's what he became. And, you know, you saw him start to loosen up as he got comfortable. It happens with everybody who goes through Kansas who starts with a role, and then as they get some more time, they start to do other things. But really, until you kind of get a fresh start away from that, it's not going to be showing everything that you can do. And I think that now the Lakers ended up getting, you know, a great player, you know, a little bit more than maybe what some people were expecting, because he's more than what he was showing, which was already a really good player.
Going back to my earlier question, I don't want to put words in your mouth or anything like that, but because you felt like an outsider before, did you tend to gravitate or relate to guys like Zvi who are coming overseas and just understand more what they had to go through and the adjustment period that they had to go through better than, I guess, you know, your other American teammates?
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely understand it. You know, I think that as a group, everybody was very kind of understanding. I mean, we had quite a few foreigners who were new to the United States and stuff. He was very new, but everybody was pretty welcoming and understanding. I think that, you know, I was able to kind of get a sense of what he was going through, but it was really a team effort kind of getting him adjusted. I know that his roommate was Devontae Graham for a while, and he picked up a lot of his habits, and now all of a sudden Speed talks differently than when he came, and he's like a whole new person.
When were you able to identify Svi's NBA potential while you were teammates? Was there a moment where it stuck out to you that he'd have a chance to play in the league? And if so, when was that? And was there something specific that triggered that thought?
I would say that I truly felt that he was capable of becoming an NBA player when he first got there. I mean, he showed so much to us at such a young age that we all saw it. And then you start, you know, seeing more of him, and I, you know, I believed it and knew that he was talented, but you start, you know, wondering, okay, you know, is this age and is this time, like, was it the right timing to come over to the United States and go through what he's going through now? Is it going to hurt his confidence? Because there were some times early on where, you know, you might have seen his confidence shook a little bit, as would anybody at that age going into that situation. But, you know, then as soon as he kind of started showing he could respond to things, showing that, you know, he's not going to let it affect him and his shot, you know, then it came back like, okay, yeah, he is an NBA player. And then obviously, you know, now seeing him in Summer League and everything, it's definitely, you know, that he belongs here, and this is definitely the right spot for him.
Absolutely. You know, I think something that he always likes to emphasize is that he's a, I like to call him Svi more than a shooter, Mikhailu, because he always likes to emphasize I can do more than shoot. But I think you've touched upon it a little earlier on. What type of system did you guys run in Kansas? And I'm guessing it just never really allowed for Svi to showcase more than just spotting up and finding open spaces, even though he was able to show that in practice or gain that trust that he could do more. The system just, it didn't seem like it allowed for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, the system, it honestly changed a little bit as my time there progressed. He was a big high-low kind of guy when I first got there. As we got less bigs and went more to the Josh Jackson at the four, the, you know, Perry Ellis, who was, you know, kind of a real stretch 4-3, that's when we kind of started playing a different game. But really, for the most part, It was a combination of the system and also a combination of just when you're at a school like that with that many talented people at your position, you just try to get by and make the coach, you know, happy and really, sure, you know, get time on the court. And I think that he found from what Coach Self was telling him and, you know, just how he could help the team was to do those things. And then at that point, once you kind of get into there, you know, you think, you know, just like anybody, okay, well, there's a better ball handler out there. So, you know, that ball handler, Frank Mason or whoever it is probably going to have the ball most of the time, or, you know, there's a better guy who does this. So, you know, that's what he's going to do. But what my job is to go and shoot and do this and that. So, you know, I think it was just kind of combination of things, and really just, you know, having a tough competition at your position sometimes can lead you to be like, all right, I just want to get on the court and contribute to this team and not risk going out there and trying to do too much almost. So,
sure. And I think in that sense, you can probably relate to him as well in terms of like filling that role.
Oh, for sure.
So I guess how did Svi help your game as a center? I know your senior year, that's when you got the most minutes. And I did you start that senior year as well?
Yeah. So I started off and on from the middle of my sophomore year, beginning of my senior year. I got hurt for a little bit and then ended up coming back and starting for the rest of the season. So, I mean, he helped a ton. He's spaced the floor great. The one thing that stood out to me as a big playing with him was actually his passing. His post-entry passing, which, like, a lot of people don't really realize because, you know, it's just an average thing, but was elite. You know, that was big for me because I was big on just trying to get position and it's one thing to just throw the ball to somebody on the block, but, you know, he was able to put it in the right positions for you to score, give it to you on time, on target, which is big for, you know, somebody who's playing down low. And just, you know, all kinds of stuff. Coming off screens, he could find you well. So his passing stood out to me as a big. And then obviously the shooting and stretching the court, you know, helps. But yeah, I think because he played, you know, so far ahead of his age group growing up and stuff, he learned really how to become a great passer on top of everything else. And that's definitely something that I appreciated playing with him.
And that's something that I think the Lakers are looking for. They're looking for guys who are versatile and can do more than one thing. And the fact that Zvi is already such a great shooter, but he also possesses, one, he can handle the ball, but also he's an adept passer. That's something that the Lakers want in this, you know, pace and space, go, go, go system. So that's great to hear. For you, is there a moment or a specific game that you remember out of Zvi where you're like, dude, boy's hot right now, this guy's amazing? Like, is there a particular game or just like a clutch moment that you remember during your time at Kansas where you were on the court with Zvi or on the bench that you were just like, damn?
I mean, he hit a bunch of big shots. The one thing that I do remember is that no matter how things were going, and it's how most good shooters should be, but no matter how things are going, you felt confident that if he got a chance to shoot, you know, open shot or even just a shot at all towards the end of the game, he was going to make it. I mean, that's the kind of confidence we had in him. And, you know, he showed it multiple times, hitting big shots. I mean, the most recent one, I wasn't there, but, you know, obviously against Duke, he hit a big shot. And mm-hmm. and I think that just kind of shows, you know, his progression because – you know, early on in his career, I don't know if he would have shied away from that, if the opportunity came or not. But I know that as he got more comfortable and confident, he was going to take those shots, those big shots, and he was going to make them. So
with regards to Zvi's career at Kansas, and in terms of guys that you've seen in your career that you consider one of the best shooters, I guess, how would you rank him in your personal list of best shooters and guys you've seen?
He's definitely up there. I mean, I would say as far as corner shooting, like if you were going to say, you know, I'm dribbling down and going to kick it to him in the corner and I want anybody there, I would pick him. You know, that's his spot. And then since then, I mean, you know, especially in summer league, off the dribble has improved a lot. But as far as spot up, from what I've seen, it's probably the best I've played with. And then now as he develops off the dribble, you know, he gets up there as far as just all around shooters that I've played with.
So, you know, because he's white and because he's European, he is likely going to get the quote unquote sneaky athletic, but yeah. He's pretty athletic, right? Can you speak to that a little bit?
He is very athletic. The only thing is that he has pretty short arms, so
yes.
he gets super high and, like, you know, he'll be dang near eye level with the rim sometimes, but the dunks just aren't, you know, crazy because his arms are pretty short. But I mean, I remember we were watching tapes of him before he came, and he was overseas and at like 15, 16 doing windmills and through the legs, and we knew that he was athletic. But but yeah, no, he's athletic and definitely he's going to get that sneaky athletic talk from a lot of people.
Hey, that's good to hear. So as we wind down here, how was Zvi like as a teammate? How was he when you first met him, and how was he by the time you left Kansas? I know you said that he picked up some mannerisms from Devontae Graham and started talking and walking like him and all that stuff. But did you sense just that air of renewed confidence in him that you almost told yourself, yeah, that guy is probably confident that he'll make it in the NBA?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that, you know, just with him getting more comfortable with things, you know, being around teammates, us showing confidence in him, he developed it over time. But you could really just see, you know, a change, just how he responded to things, coach getting on him, him coming out of the game for missing shots, whatever it may be. he developed greatly from the time where we first saw him until now. I mean, like I said, when I first saw him, I knew he was an NBA talent and good. I mean, I would have bet money that he was going to be in the NBA. And as that first year comes and goes, you start, you know, wondering, okay, is this, you know, is he ready for this mentally? Is he going to be able to handle it? And then after that, after he kind of went through that and showed that he was capable of it, all those questions went away, at least in my mind. And clearly, you know, with NBA teams, they felt the same way because he got the opportunity he does now. And, yeah, I mean, you could definitely see a change from the time he got in until, you know, where he is at now.
And personality-wise, would you characterize him as, like, a low-key type of guy? Or is he quirky? Or
you know, he's pretty funny because he's changed so much. He's so hip now. Like, he's with everything. I mean, he knows what's going on, you know, and really – we owe that all to Devonte because he was around Devonte, who's probably, you know, one of the most outgoing kind of teammates on the team. And he was around him so much that he picked up all of his traits and his personality. So he's definitely got that with him and isn't just that normal foreigner anymore. So
I'm sure you treated him like you guys all treated him like a little brother as you saw him grow before your eyes. So to kind of close this out, did you guys have, I know you said Zvi is what you ended up calling him because none of you guys could pronounce or spell his name, but were there any other nicknames that you gave Zvi? And if you want to end this out with like any funny or unique stories that you have of Zvi during your time with him as a teammate, or even just a moment that stood out to you.
I would say that we just stuck with Zvi most of the time. I mean, you know, when he first got there, I remember, you know, he would try to, you know, say his name and get us to, and then eventually, you know, he would give up and just be like, just, you know, call me Zvi. But, you know, as far as just, you know, funny things, there were so many. I mean, he's a funny guy. And then obviously, you know, just foreigners in general usually bring funny stories to a locker room, but you know, I would just say just during his learning experience of English, it was always funny to hear him and all the new words and stuff that he learned and early on, you know, once he kind of got you know, a hold of some things, he would kind of just go with it for a while. And so that was always funny to us to just kind of, you know, hear him and all the new slang that he was learning. And those were always funny moments for us.
Hey, and you can say all that because I consider you a foreigner, Landon, and you've been through that experience, right?
Exactly. I mean, I was that kid in Japan, the same way. I was over there and they probably all thought I was funny trying to fit in with them. So
no, I totally get it. I'm Filipino. I have Filipino parents, and Filipinos are our biggest tendency is like screwing up idioms and phrases. We get it like 80% right, and then we just screw up at the very last second, and then it becomes hilarious. But thank you so much for coming on and giving us a little bit of your insight on Zvi, but also just your own career arc as well, because I think it's vastly fascinating and we're very much rooting for you on your journey here.
Thank you.
You know, before we head out though, can you tell us a little bit about the Landon Lucas Foundation?
Yeah, no, I'm very passionate about it. I started it last year and growing up, you know, I kind of just had this idea that I wanted to make an impact on kids. And when I was trying to figure out how to do it, I started thinking back to what impacted me the most. And I realized I kind of narrowed it down to, I learned so much from sports, regardless of where I was at, regardless of what I was going through, adjusting to, you know, all of my major life experiences and stuff. You know, sports really affected all of those, no matter what I went through. And so I was fortunate enough to, you know, even at times where my mom, being a single parent with me, wasn't able to afford things, she had people that could help. So grandparents, family, friends and stuff. But, you know, I realized that not every kid has that, you know, to be able to help them out and get on the teams, play in sports. And so I started this to really just to help kids and help them be able to participate. And what we want to do is just make it more about learning those life lessons and going through things, the ups and the downs, you know, not all highs and really learning everything from sports. And not, it's not a way to, you know, find people who are talented and get scholarships and all that. That's great if that happens, but it's really just about, you know, getting these kids the opportunities to learn those life lessons through sports, all kinds of sports. And so that's why I started it. Currently it's in Lawrence, but starting next year, we're going to expand, hopefully come down to LA and start making an impact, you know, with kids out here and just trying to provide those opportunities for them.
Hey, that's so awesome to hear. And, you know, LeBron James himself with his I Promise School initiative, I think you're just showing that, you know, it doesn't matter what means you have. You don't have to be a superstar like LeBron James to make an impact and make a big difference. So, you know, that's really encouraging to hear. And yeah, we have your back on all of that. And thank you for making a difference in the community with what you have and just trying to make an impact beyond your sphere of influence and using your own experience and background and journey and story to help other kids. I think it's very inspiring. And I think that's what we need, especially in the state of this world right now that we live in, where there's so much negativity. So thank you so much for doing that. And thank you for coming on the show. This is the Lakers Legacy. Really quickly off the cuff, is it kind of surreal to you? I know you've been through so many experiences, and at this point, you've been teammates with Joel Embiid, guys who are probably going to be Hall of Fame players and whatnot. But has it felt surreal to you? Does it feel surreal to you that you're a Lakers fan, and look, you might one day end up playing in the league as well, and it'll hit you in a different way then, but just knowing that you're going to be rooting for your former teammates V in an entirely new way, seeing him hit threes off LeBron, and has that hit you yet? Is it surreal to you?
I mean, it is, and it is pretty fun just to follow all those guys. I mean, you know, it is something that from all the way from Finley Prep, I mean, I've gotten a chance to play with, you know, guys like that. I mean, guys like, man, Tristan Thompson, for example, went to, you know, Finley Prep, the same high school. And so, you know, I've been able to watch, you know, teammates do things. And it was the same way in high school when I was watching college, them do things in college. And then in college, you know, with the NBA. And so, you know, I'm really excited for SV, for, you know, all of my teammates who are, you know, being able to do that and play with a guy like LeBron who, you know, is one of the greats of all time. And so, you know, it's really cool to support them and watch. And, you know, I'm hoping that someday I get an opportunity to, you know, really do that. And it's motivating because, you know, I played with them, played with these guys, you know. And so, you know, I definitely want to, you know, be at that same stage someday. But in the meantime, it's very fun to watch. And I'm excited for this next season, being able to watch Steve play for my team. So.
Absolutely. And we're looking forward to having you in the league as well. And maybe one day as a Laker, we've already got our Kyle Korver and Svi. So we're just looking for a Tristan Thompson. So exactly. Come on over, man. And hey, Landon, ganbatte kudasai.
Oh, okay. You know some Japanese.
Really quickly, just to prove it. I don't know if you're embarrassed to do it, but if you want to give us like a Japanese phrase, your Japanese fans or Toyota Aalvarks fans, sign us off.
Minasan, sayonara.
Awesome. All right. Thank you, Landon. We will catch you later. Best of luck.
Thank you.
This is what Flo from Progressive sounds like in one of our many hilarious commercials.
Hi! Did you know that you can get a quote on your motorcycle insurance in under 3 minutes at Progressive.com? And did you know that saying hi makes even bad news sound good? Hi! You have high cholesterol! Hi! You're fired!
And this is what that same commercial sounds like on your motorcycle.
Hi! There's no more pain!
Yeah, even our commercials sound better on a bike. And with basic policy starting at $75 a year, Progressive helps keep you on yours. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Annual premium for basic liability policy not available in all states.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.